I'd like to turn your attention to Ephesians, the fifth chapter. God has already confirmed this message. He said this morning our worship was like a beautiful fragrance in this place. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 1, it says, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor," or a fragrance, a sweet-smelling fragrance. And then Hebrews, the first chapter, verse number 9 says, "Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity, therefore," or because of this, "therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows." He has given us a joy and anointing that he hasn't given just anybody. But there's a oil of gladness that I'm happy. Are things perfect? No, but you still can have the joy of the Lord in your life.
Amen.
And then our last scripture is found in Psalms, the 45th chapter. I want to show you what God showed me yesterday. Psalms 45 and verse number 6, it says, "Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of thy kingdom is a right scepter. Thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness. Therefore, God, thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows." So we are quoting in Hebrews 1 and 9 what was written by the psalmist in this seventh verse. And then verse number 8, it says, "All thy garments smell of myrrh and aloes and cassia out of the ivory palaces, whereby they have made thee glad." All thy garments smell of myrrh and aloes and cassia out of the ivory palaces, whereby they have made thee glad. Lord, we ask your blessing and anointing upon your word this morning and every individual that's here, God. You know exactly what's going on in each and every one of our lives. You see us from the moment we're born until the moment we take our last breath. And God, you try to involve yourself in every aspect of our life. Bless this message in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. You may be seated. There is an organization called the International Flavors and Fragrances in the United States, and they are responsible for almost every perfume that is on the market. Billions and billions of dollars are spent every year on exotic perfumes. They are known for creating designer fragrances for Hugo Boss, Givenchy, White Diamond, Armani, Ralph Lauren, and every other high-end perfume. They have sponsored numerous experiments taken into outer space to create a fragrance not affected by the pull of gravity, and somehow they're able to extract ingredients in order to make perfumes that cannot be made on Earth. What they want to create was a fragrance that was literally out of this world. You don't have to be an astronaut this morning in order to get a fragrance that is out of this world. I'd like you to introduce you to a fragrance that is out of this world. His name is Jesus. He left this world by ascending up into heaven. 500 people watched him leave in the clouds, but he left his garment here on earth, and his fragrances still linger within the church. We put on Christ and we put on a fragrance. Speaking of the Messiah, the psalmist said in Psalms 45 and 8, all thy garments smell of myrrh and aloes and cassia out of the ivory palaces whereby they have made thee glad. God descended from heaven in order to give us what we couldn't get on our own. It had to be out of this world. Hebrews 1 and 9 says, thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore, God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. Would you turn to 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter? Second Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 14, it says, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then were all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. So the whole purpose of our walk with God is not to live for ourselves, but to live for the one who died for us. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. God took on the form of man in order to die on the cross, to reconcile each and every one of us, that we could now become a new creature in Christ. We have nothing to do with our first birth, but we have everything to do with our second birth, becoming a new creature in Christ. The Song of Solomon, chapter 2 and verse 1 says, I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valley. It is Jesus who is that rose of Sharon and lily of the valley. There aren't two flowers that are more pungent, more strong in fragrance than these two. Jesus is the rose of Sharon, and he rose from the dead. Amen. Psalms 45 and 8, the psalmist describes Jesus as having stepped from the ivory palaces to come and dwell in the presence of mortal man. What seems to impress the psalmist was not the appearance of the Messiah, but his garments were filled with the smell of three spices. He was impressed with the fragrance of God. Myrrh, aloe, and cassia. Now, there are shadows and types within the Bible. And you know, you can just read over these things and not have a greater understanding of the purpose of the Scripture. What do these three spices say to us today? They are a shadow and type. Well, Jesus was no stranger to myrrh. Myrrh was one of the gifts that was given by the wise man to him when he was in Bethlehem just as a baby. And myrrh mixed with vinegar was given to Jesus as the last thing when he was on the cross. So it was the beginning and it was the end. Nicodemus used myrrh to prepare Christ's body for burial. And the word itself means bitter, bitter to the taste, but sweet in the smell. The scraggly, thorny myrrh tree cannot be considered any kind of a beautiful tree. It didn't look like much at all. Yet when it was pierced, it gave off an aroma that just caused people to walk to it. What is that aroma? What is that smell? There are people who walk into a Spirit-filled church. It may not look like what you're used to. It may not look beautiful, but there's something that draws us to this incredible anointing and attractiveness of God's people. From the wounded side of the myrrh tree emerged a resin, whose fragrance draws people to the tree. And you see the typology here. Much like the anointing of the song service draws people to the altar, the special is singing. And as the power and presence of God falls in a church service, it just draws people into Christ. Not anything special about this altar, but there's something special about the presence of God that says, I've got to do something. I can't just sit there. In the Bible, in those days, 1 ounce of myrrh was more precious than an ounce of gold. You take just a little bit of myrrh and open it up in a closed room, and the entire room is saturated with that smell. It was myrrh that Mary had in the alabaster box, which she anointed Jesus with for his burial. Let's take a look at Matthew 26. Matthew 26, starting in verse number 6, it says, Now when Jesus was in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman, and having an alabaster box of very precious ointment, and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. But when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, To what purpose is this waste? Why are we worshiping? Why are we doing what we are doing here this morning? For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. When Jesus understood it, he said unto them, Why trouble ye this woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. For ye have the poor always with you, but me ye have not always. For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Verily I say unto you, wherever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this, that this woman hath done, to be told for a memorial for her. There's something about the anointing, the oil, the aroma, the fragrance of breaking something open and giving it to Jesus. In Mark 14 and 3, we won't turn to it, it says that the ointment of spikenard was very precious, and some might think that that was the ingredients that was in the perfume, but the word spikenard simply means pure and unadulterated. It had no adverse properties. And so it was a very expensive, high-grade myrrh that was used. Now, when the word aloes is used in the Psalms, we think of the aloe plant grown in dry places in America, and there are more beauty products used for aloe healing properties that aloe has, and it truly does work. But the scriptures point to another plant, an Asian tree known as the aloe's wood. Nicodemus used 100 pounds of this for the burial of Jesus. And when you ground it up, it not only gave off this beautiful fragrant incense, but it also had many medical purposes and properties. It said, Christ's garments are saturated with aloe because there is healing in them. The woman with the issue of blood touched the garment of Jesus, and she was instantly healed. And as we break open our box, if we break open our flesh to the point where I'm going to get to Jesus, I'm going to worship him, there's something about that that releases a healing for each and every one of us. Hallelujah. I've seen more people healed in worship services than begging God, please heal me, or say, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Why don't you do something in order to give him a fragrance that he so loves? Amen. There is always a fragrance of healing in the church of the living God. He left the ivory palace to bring us a fragrance that is out of this world, that can't be duplicated. In fact, it tells us in Exodus 32 that it is not to be duplicated or put on the flesh of man back in the tabernacle, but on the day of Pentecost, God's saying, okay, now forget about anointing the furniture. Now we're going to start anointing the people. Cassia was the third spice in the garment of Christ. It is an evergreen found in the Middle East, known for its blossoms and blooming from early spring into the heat of the summer. It is known for its lingering fragrance. Touch it, and it'll linger for days. It's like the anointing of God that lingers on us after we leave a spirit-filled service. And we put on his garment, people around us start to notice, what is it about you? Well, we've been with Christ. You see, fragrances that are out of this world. Yes, the rose of Sharon arose, and he left his fragrant garment with us like Elijah dropped his mantle for Elisha. It was the anointing that is there. That anointing needs to be passed down from mother and father to son and daughter, the grandchildren. It needs to be perpetuated within the house of God, because we could go through the routine. Like the Bible says, in the end times, there'll be a form of godliness, but deny the power of God. We can go through the motions of clapping our hands and even raising our hands, and there is no fragrance because nobody broke open the box. They remind us of the struggles, the piercing, but then the sweetness that comes. It reminds us of the healing power of God and the lingering of his presence and the fragrance of a second chance for each of us. Amen. God said, he hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness. In John 12, Mary, the sister of Lazarus, had myrrh for her brother's funeral. She knew that he was dying, and somehow she got out that alabaster box with the anointing. I believe with my whole heart it was for her brother Lazarus, but then Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. And now she didn't need to anoint Lazarus, but she saw, here's the purpose for this. I'm going to anoint my Lord. We were once dead, but no longer are we dead. Now we need to use the anointing and that fragrance in order to think about it. Anoint our God. We always think about being anointed, but what about anointing our God with a sweet fragrance from above? So Mary took this precious oil and poured it on his head, poured it on his feet, and wiped his feet with her hair. Here's a woman who knew firsthand about resurrection. She saw it. Her brother was dead, and now he's alive. I've seen that happen. I've seen it happen in the physical with Brother Fitch, but I've seen it happen in the spiritual where people had no interest in God whatsoever. Somebody who was pulled to church. I don't want to be there, those freaky people who worship God all the time. And then all of a sudden, they're made alive by an ointment and anointing. The Holy Ghost touches them. Hallelujah. What were her motives for giving such an expensive gift, breaking the container and pouring out this costly oil on Jesus? Well, Jesus gives the answer. He said it was for the preparation of my burial. The fragrance filled the entire house. I don't know if she did it in the corner of the room. I don't know where it was, but everybody knew she broke open the box. And you know what? When we have a worship service and somebody breaks open the box, everybody knows. I don't know if it's in the back corner or it's in the middle of the church. What has happened in this place? We're going to another dimension in worship. Amen. Amen. I believe the fragrance of that precious oil lingered with Jesus for his entire final week of his crucifixion. The fragrance reminded him of Mary's love and her devotion And I believe that the fragrance lingered while he stooped and washed the feet of disciples who were arguing with each other. God sees all of our inadequacies. Amen. Does he one time go back to that service where you just got a hold of God and you just pulled out all of the stops and you started worshiping God? And even in our deficiencies, he smells the fragrance of what we have produced in the service at one time. He smelled it, that fragrance on his garment as he prayed in agony in the Garden of Gethsemane. The fragrance was there during the mockery of his trial. Did the fragrance linger when he was beat with a cat of nine tails in so much agony? Did the fragrance linger of that worship linger when they nailed his hands to the cross? Could it have been the lingering fragrance of that oil that sustained him in his death? Could it have been the fragrance of what we break open on a regular basis in services such as this? Could it be the fragrance, and he said it this morning, the fragrance of your worship sustains our God when everything else in this world is moving away from God? Would you turn to 2 Corinthians, the second chapter? Second Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 14. It says, "Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the savor or fragrance of his knowledge by us in every place." It's not just in church. "For we are unto God a sweet savor or fragrance of Christ in them that are saved and in them that perish. To one, we are a savor of death unto death, and to others, a savor or fragrance of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things?" There's a fragrance about us when we are praising God that attracts some people and it repulses others. You know? There are fragrances in this world. Why would they spend all of this money in order to come up with a new fragrance out of this world and put it in a beautiful container and charge hundreds and hundreds of dollars for it? And it causes us to think a little different and act a little different and cause us to fall in love. And yet then there are some fragrances that are developed even by Johnson Wax that will drive insects away. There's some fragrances, oh, I love what I smell, and there are some, I'm sorry, get away from me. But we are unto God a sweet savor. Did you know that the word savor and the word savior are almost spelled identically? The only difference in the word savior is an I in it. He put us in the middle of salvation, and our fragrance sustains him. Why does the world smell the fragrance of the Holy Ghost? Well, most of them don't. Someone has to sacrifice in order to receive the fragrance. Chances are, if you're here this morning, somebody has been praying for you, somebody has been worshiping God for you. Someone has broken something open for you, and you're here. Amen. I resisted and resisted. But when I walked into a place like this and suddenly I felt the Shekinah glory of God, I felt something I had never felt before. I had to find out more about this God who would touch me from out of this world. The box or the container must first be broken in repentance, and then the oil begins to flow and it starts to fill the house. I never want to come to church when there isn't a fragrance. I never want to come to church where there is not an anointing of God in everything that we do, where people don't get so overwhelmed by it, they walk almost in a trance to come to Jesus. That's the way it's supposed to be. It's not a matter of, oh, I did my duty and I spent the time and now I'm going to go live just the way I did before. Nothing identifies with the resurrection more than the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Nothing. Because the Holy Ghost was not poured out until after Calvary.
Amen.
Romans 8 and 11 says, if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, what spirit is that? That's the Holy Spirit. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken or cause to stand up and make alive your mortal bodies by the Spirit that dwelleth in you. So the same Spirit that made Jesus alive 3 days after Calvary, if that same Spirit is within you, then one day we're going to stand up alive just like Lazarus stood up alive because of that Spirit that is within us. It's the vehicle to get out of here. I remember being in my first Bible study. I remember being in that Bible study and the teacher read this scripture and then went on. But later that night, I went to my bedroom and opened up this scripture and looked at it and said, I have got to have the Holy Ghost. This Holy Ghost oil could not be poured out on mankind until Jesus broke the container, just like Mary broke the container. So the Holy Ghost could not be poured out on the day of Pentecost unless Jesus broke that temporary body that he came in. And once he broke that body, then the Holy Ghost ushered out. And when it did, this fragrance, this precious Holy Ghost oil, started to flow out on all humanity. Acts 2 and 18 says, on the day of Pentecost, it says, I will pour out in those days of my Spirit upon all flesh. All flesh. It's that Holy Ghost oil.
Amen.
Hey, what's that fragrance that lingers in the room? Jesus broke his body for the same reason Mary broke that alabaster box, because of love and for our resurrection. You know, each of us carry with us the knowledge that someday we're going to pass from this life to another.
Right.
It becomes more of a reality every time I do a funeral. I see the faces of those who are here with a loved one, and they're thinking, one day, I'll be in that same place, and am I ready?
Amen.
Am I ready? But thank God for the resurrection. I'll stand up again. Each of us have a future beyond this life. But Jesus broke open the container he put himself in so we could have that fragrance of his Spirit that would linger with us until that day of our own burial or that resurrection at the coming of Jesus. And that fragrance will carry us through the trials that we go through. Anybody go through a trial lately? Anybody have a problem? But it's the fragrance of that anointing or God's Spirit that keeps us through the trials, through the beatings that we sometimes get. Even though it's unjust, I still smell the fragrance of my God through the disappointments of family and friends and even church people that perhaps would do things that would be unjust or unkind. A fragrance so strong that it lingers even to the day we close our eyes for the last time. Oh, thank God for the fragrance in the place. In this place this morning,
amen.
It has been paid for.
Yeah.
Precious, precious oil.
Amen.
By the Lord Jesus Christ, by the breaking and the piercing of his body. It was bitter, but it's also sweet.
Amen.
Amen. There's one last scripture I'd like you to turn to, and it's in Acts, the second chapter. If there was one scripture that capitalizes everything that is in this book, If you look at Acts 2 and verse number 37, after Peter preaches this message that you're responsible for the death of your own Lord Jesus Christ, verse 37 says, "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Now that I understand that I'm responsible for the death of our Lord and Savior." Verse 38, "Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Well, is it only for those that were back then in Bible days? No, it says, "For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord God shall call." I'm glad that the invitation was to me 2,000 years later. I'm glad that that oil could be poured out on me, the most precious ingredients on the face of this earth that came from another world. And I'll tell you what, there have been many who have tried to duplicate it, but when we love righteousness and hate wickedness, he has anointed us with an oil of gladness that, you know, get me to church. I want to smell that fragrance one more time. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus, for your goodness, God. Amen. Amen. Would you stand with me, please? I was thinking this morning, what would make a successful Resurrection Sunday service? Would it be that, well, we all felt the presence of God and we had a good song service and everybody clapped during the preaching? All of that could make a good service, but you know what would make the best service? Would be a service like the service on the day of Pentecost when Peter preached the word and they started lining up to be baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost. That would be the best resurrection service. How many here have been baptized more than once? Raise your hand. Look it. Most of us were baptized when we were babies or before we came to truth. And we got to the place where we realized, you know what? I need to be baptized in the name that's above every name. Amen. In the only name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Amen. And so this would be a great day for you to take that step, to have the blood put on your doorpost, that there would be a Passover your sins. Amen. And then God could break open the box and he would pour out his spirit upon each and every one of us. I never thought it could happen to me. I thought I had faith for everyone else to be able to speak in another tongue. But you know what? When I got so deep in worshiping and thanking him for his goodness, it just happened. Amen. Glory to God. Last Friday, we baptized 17 men in a maximum security prison in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Saw grown men, tough men, weeping as they came up out of the water because there was an anointing and blessing of God upon each and every one of them because they wanted to do what was right. Amen. Glory to God. Thank you for being here this morning. This altar is open.